Chapter 22. The Personal, the Random, and the Weird. In this chapter, I talk about my spirit animal, my favorite root beers, my biggest fear, and who should play me in my biopic. The Ask Gary Vee Show is supposed to offer a 360-degree perspective on how I work, live, and think. I already live my life out in the open, so I'm often a bit surprised that there are still things people don't know about me and are curious enough to ask about. But there are quite a few, as it turns out. Which is good and makes sense because, of course, there are many topics you should be paying attention to. And amid all the conventional questions about running companies, investing, branding, marketing, and general business development, there are occasionally some, unusual inquiries. We like to respect every type of question, which is how some of these oddballs made it onto the show. I'm also flattered that some people may want my opinion on these random topics. I always find it interesting to hear what's on people's minds. I hope you enjoy listening to this fun collection as much as we enjoyed putting it together.
Oddly enough, that was only 8 questions, though I promised 10. I'll add to Gary, how much do you love Charlie? And when someone asks you a question like, how do you politely do anything, are you actually capable of answering that? Have you ever done anything politely?
So this is fun. This is a curveball. I didn't even know this was coming. We're going to the next chapters, but let's answer these. I mean, this is what makes these things fun. Number one, I love Charlie a lot. Charlie is an incredibly interesting person for me, and here's why. And I'm going to go deep here. This lets me really ad-lib. Charlie Ebersole is married to a very famous man, an iconic man who was very successful. And I am hoping to be one of those men. And I've thought a lot about how would my kids turn out? How would they be hungry? How would they be motivated? How would they be polite? Would they be spoiled? And Charlie Ebersole, along with Ben Lehr and a couple of other of my friends, have shown me that even if you grow up with money and success and admiration and attention, you could be a tremendous human being if you are parented correctly. So Charlie, I love you a lot. A, because I like you, but B, because you give me absolute hope and complete conviction that I'm going to be able to, with my wife, raise amazing kids. Number two, I'm super polite, Dick.
This is Nathan Schroeder, former CEO of Jab, 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 Right Hook, and I'll be asking the next 5 questions. Legend has it, on your first date with your wife, you told her you would marry her. We want to know the details. And also, what dating advice do you have for women in their 20s?
So, Lizzie and I met on a Sunday night. Thank God the Jets won that Sunday night in the fall, because this is a true story. I would have not gone on a date because I wouldn't have been in the right mindset. So Jets, thank you so much for helping me get married. We had an incredible 4-hour dinner date on a Sunday night from 7 to 11 p.m. I pretty much fell in love right away. It was love at first sight, especially as the dinner progressed and I got to know her. And literally within the first few minutes of our date, I started talking about my ambitions in my life, go figure. And here's how it went down. We had an incredible dinner. I still lived in New Jersey, so I drove into the city. She lived on the Upper East Side. I offered to drive her home because it was late. I dropped her off and I called her on her phone 3 minutes after I dropped her off. She's not even in her apartment yet. She's just getting out of the elevator. And my opening line was, can you believe this is it? Literally, that was my opening line. She didn't say a whole lot right away, but we continued to talk until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And basically, we've been married ever since. So the legend is true. And that's how it kind of went down. We got married within the year of meeting each other. And if her brother wasn't getting engaged, we probably would have been married within 4 or 5 months. You just know sometimes. As far as advice for women in their 20s, I have a lot of them working for me at VaynerMedia. I watch them very carefully. I watch them as consumers. I'm as an enormously proud father of a daughter. I'm so excited about where we are in the woman's movement in our society. It's progressed so much in the last half century. And what I would say is continue on the momentum. So many of the 20-year-old gals in my office are aggressive and take control and, go for what you want and just be true to yourself. If you want to be passive, then do that too. I'd give you the same advice I give a 20-year-old dude. Do you. It's always the best way to go.
Does it bother your wife that you constantly spin your ring on the show?
If you watch me carefully, especially now with Daily V, I'm sure that will pop up. I love to spin my wedding ring. I just want to say this. All my type A straight-laced buddies, you know, like really like organized and lists and shit, every one of them is on their third wedding ring because they've lost the other two. I am still on my original wedding ring. Lizzie, you are not, and you know it. So I am very proud for all my chaos. It's quite controlled, and I'd like to think she thinks it's cool. I'm not sure. I'll ask her tonight.
How do I get the cute old lady who keeps accidentally calling my house to stop? I just want a nap.
So first of all, I remember this question very well. If you've called her cute, you're a good guy or gal, right? Like, you're obviously a nice person. And so I actually think you reverse the script. I actually think the next time she calls, you engage in a full-length conversation and get to know her. You can even become friends. I think a fun thing would do instead of saying wrong number and hanging up is to actually say, hey, you've called me several times, but before you go, what's your name? Who are you? Who are you trying to reach? Tell me about yourself. I'm very into trying to force serendipity. It's a kind of this interesting thing I think a lot about, which is serendipity is clearly natural and happens. But what happens when you try to force it? What happens when you try to do things like that? What happens when you deploy sunshine and rainbows and optimism to the world and kindness and nice things and things that movies are made of? I'll tell you what happens because I live it. Nice things happen. A lot of times nothing happens. You know, she's like, what are you talking about? Sorry, I was trying to call my sister. I'll never call again. Other times you get into a great conversation and you meet one of the nicest people and best people and you show up to her funeral 5 years later and it's very emotional. It's quite sad. And then you write a book about it, make millions. And I mean, there's a million things that can happen. Clearly my head went to business. I'm sorry for like, I'm so sorry, everyone, that I had to go there because it ruined the whole damn thing. Maybe you forget about writing the book and making millions. Maybe you do it. And then the world and the universe 60 years later does it for you when maybe you're lonely and your grandkids don't call anymore. And maybe you call somebody randomly by accident and maybe you get a friend. I just believe in that karma shit.
Why is your phone always in the shot?
Well, because my phone is the actual extension of me as a human being. If you have not figured out that phones are the future of us being robots, you're lost. Most of you are literally within arm's reach of your phone at all times. I don't like keeping my phone in my pocket if I don't have to, so when I'm sitting and doing the show on my table, I put my phone down. That's why.
Hi, this is Matt DeMeo. I'm Gary's assistant, and I'll be reading the next five questions. Cake or pie?
I don't eat either much anymore, which really sucks, but I've come to realize I'm a huge pie guy. You know, I love pie. Blueberry's really good. I went through a huge apple phase from 1992 to 1996. Was never really a big peach guy. Had a few seconds with pecan. What else is there? I love blueberry. Cherry had me for like a week once in like 2002, but that was it. Oh, rhubarb. That stuff is legit. I'm all about that. Oh, and pumpkin. I obsess over pumpkin pie. Mike, I know you're listening. I could eat a shitload of pumpkin pie, so please keep an eye on me.
Center or edge?
Edge. Edge. I think everybody plays in the center. I think the center is boring. I think school teaches you to be in the center. I think the world is based on the center. And I think the people that most win, and by the way, pay attention, most lose are on the edges. I love the edges. That's just where I live.
What is your favorite pair of sneakers of all time?
The 1985 Patrick Ewing Adidas. I'm a huge, huge Pat Ewing fan. He was my Knicks in that prime young youth. I think he's super underrated. He never had the support. I love John Starks and Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley as much as the next guy. X-Man Xavier McDaniel, let's call it what it is. These were very average guys. He never really had a number two. I wore those proudly in my Beastie Boys Run DMC days. I thought it was cool. I hated the Bulls because I was a Knicks fan. There were no Jordans on my feet. So that's it.
What is your favorite holiday tradition?
Hands down, it's Thanksgiving. It's always at my parents in Hunterdon County, New Jersey. The whole family gets together. It's just a blast. I really enjoy it. Everybody's really kind of mellow because we've got a 4-day weekend. It's kind of nice. Historically, through my 20s and early 30s, I had the pressure of the fourth quarter coming up because we were in retail. That was big wine time. So there was a little bit of that pressure. Now that I'm a little bit more in a corporate America world where things wind down a little bit, there's only a couple weeks after that, I'm quite festive. I got the kids now. But being my parents sleeping over for those 2 or 3 days, my in-laws come. We've been able to keep the group together. It's been a lot of fun. I really, really, really enjoy it.
My husband is a big picture kind of guy, but so is his wish list. Any advice on Christmas shopping for this type?
I do. And ironically, when I said this on the show, my amazing wife was paying attention, and then she executed on what I said. On the show, I said, it's all about one-of-a-kind items, right? Trips, events, surprise parties, handmade one-of-a-kind things, or game-worn, like things that are one-of-a-kind. One-of-a-kind. I think that's really a big deal for people like this. I said that the number one thing that I could get in my life, and this is super narcissistic, I wanted a video of everybody I knew telling me how great I was. And for my 40th birthday in November, my wife delivered. D-Rock, ironically, is filming right now, and it's good to see him. He edited it. I literally had 2.5 hours of tons of people telling me I was the best, and it was the best movie I've ever watched. Recording history is really interesting. Yes, I loved it for my own ego and things of that nature, but I wish I had one from 10 years ago to see how everybody changed and things of that nature. With the way technology is now, really think about documenting things as gifts. I think, for example, I would love for my birthday to really have my kids do something every year that I could watch them grow up and do. Like those kind of things, you know, those picture lapses and things of that nature. With video, it's so incredible now. Really think about that. That just matters so much more than a car or a watch.
If you could clone yourself, would you?
This was the all-time incident of the Ask Gary Vee show. I'll never forget D-Rock going crazy when I answered this because I said yes, and then I talked about my clone spending time with my family while I worked, which then became this huge debate in my community that maybe I didn't love my family and that I slipped, and it really proved that I cared about my work more. It was intense, but the answer is absolutely. My biggest problem in my life is my work-life balance. As somebody who's so passionate about what he does, I struggle with balancing my own ambition and my own wants and needs with the fact that I equally have my own wants and needs around spending time with my family, and I continue to hack, and it will forever be the battle. I will never win this game. Nobody ever wins this game. It's a constant struggle. The thought that I would be able to clone myself, and I would be able to spend time with my family, and I would be able to have my clone operate my businesses makes me smile.
Hey everyone, this is South Africa's very own DJ Black Coffee, and I'll be reading the next few questions for the Ask Gary Vee book. Thanks for having me. Do you wish you had done more or focused more on just one thing when you were in your mid-20s?
If you are a fan of music, especially in the up-and-coming EDM space, and what I mean by that is the evolution of it, Black Coffee is a DJ you need to pay attention to. I'm super pumped that a lot of you are hearing his name for the first time because of my book, because I'm going to be ultra cool with you in 36 months. I did, actually. I only focused on one thing, Wine Library, in my mid-20s. As a matter of fact, not only professionally, in life, I punted my personal life. I didn't hook up with chicks. I didn't go to dates. I didn't go to concerts. I didn't go to sporting events, even sporting events. I was full, all in, 24/7, 365 on Wine Library. That was my focus. That's what I cared about. And it made a huge impact. It created a base for my entire life. And really, if I could do it again, I would. Because what you realize as you get older is life is long. You know, like in your 20s, you just don't realize that here I am as a 40-year-old man, and I know I have 40, 50 big time years still left. That's a long time. That's my entire life. And so I did, and I recommend it. And I also recommend doing it a different way. You just have to know yourself. This is back to self-awareness. Some of you need to try a lot of different things. For me, it was to build a building block on top of the building block that my dad had created to really create the next chapters of my life. And I'm happy with the way I did it.
In the past 5 years, what's the hardest thing you've had to deal with, whether it's business or personal, and how did you get through it?
Once again, very blessed. The last 5 years have not created the adversity that I'm most worried about, which is the health and well-being of my family. Unfortunately, in the last 5 years, Lizzie lost both her grandmothers, but they were both well into their 90s and did an incredible job. I've just been very blessed. And so the only adversity I've really had was in business. This is very lightweight. This is called champagne problems. getting out of the routine of doing Wine Library TV and Daily Grape was quite a challenge, believe it or not. You kind of get on a bike and you never get off. It's kind of like if I ever pivoted from being a personality and putting out content, if I just wanted to go insular, that'd be hard. Once you get into a rhythm, it's super hard to break it. And that was quite tough for me to get refocused and actually run a business like VaynerMedia. It was actually a challenge for me a little bit because I hadn't done it for 3 to 4 years with Wine Library. I was siphoning off. And so that was super interesting for me. The challenge of having so many people work for me that didn't really know me, you know, VaynerMedia, I knew who I was. I wanted them to know who I was, but they didn't yet, and they didn't trust. And we were in this new industry called advertising where people are very cynical because the holding companies don't create good culture around people. And so people thought that I was only in it to buy the Jets and I didn't care about them. So it was very tough for me to operate and love my employees and not have them fully, fully get that and fully, fully know me. Though I've been chipping away and it's getting better and better, that was a very tough chapter for me as well.
Are you ever scared before you do something big, even something that's not business related?
You know, it's funny, on the show I answered that I was scared about reading in public, which has been fun because I've been doing that kind of here a little bit, not exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that I'm really scared of is reading in public. Other than that, I'm scared of heights and things of that nature, but business related or something big, not really. I was super comfortable with the thought of becoming a father. I always thought that I was fatherly, and being the oldest child prepped me for it. Immigrant family, that kind of stuff. Getting married was a no-brainer. Starting businesses is even more, I mean, literally starting businesses and taking business risks is like breathing oxygen. It comes so natural to me. You know, the health thing was a big one 18 months ago, you know, but I wasn't scared. I was ready. Maybe I was scared a couple years before and knew that I had to address my health, or I wanted to put myself in the best position with my health. But no, I don't tend to be a scared guy because I don't tend to do things that I'm scared of, right? I'm not going to jump out of planes. You know, I'm not going to eat a poisonous fish. I tend to think and ponder and get myself ready. I'm always very comfortable. I'm very much a chameleon. You know what's really funny? This is just a weird proxy, just to give you an understanding of me. My family, especially my wife, are so weirded out by my ability to adjust to any temperature at any time. It's so weird. Like, very hot, very cold. I'm just comfortable. And that's an analogy to the way I am in life.
Hey guys, it's Sean Burrows again with another question for Gary V. What's your spirit animal?
I originally answered that it was Ram Man from He-Man. If you grew up in the 80s and know He-Man, Ram Man was kind of like used his head to go through everything. I do truly believe that I will myself to victory, and I'm just bashing my head through walls to do it. But the more I think about it, I actually think it's Lizzie, my wife. We're so similar in so many ways that I really associate, like, I feel like if I was her, I would do all the same things she's doing. I don't know how to really explain that, but that's what makes me feel like we're spirit animals.
Are you the person behind the hashtag Tom Shady billboard?
During the football season, it looked like some Jet fans bought some billboards to make fun of Tom Brady and Deflategate and all that stuff. And the answer is I'm not, though I answer that I wish it was me. Truth is, I wouldn't do something like that, but I enjoyed it. I'm very much the lowest version of myself during Jets-Patriots talk. For all the people that have followed me for about 7, 8, 9 years on Twitter, they know that I am not confrontational, that I'm very politically correct, that I'm pretty zen, that I'm outrageously optimistic and understanding. But the one time I get feisty is with Patriot fans on Twitter.
If you could have a bionic body part, which body part would it be, and what powers would it have?
So I got to tell you, this was with Casey Neistat, an incredible YouTube content creator, filmmaker, extraordinary communicator, good friend, and we were talking about it, and I said that mine would be bionic ears, because I think listening... For, you know, I think I'm a contradiction, and I think when people think about me, they think about somebody talking, but I know that the reason that I've won is because I listen. I pay attention with my eyes and ears, and so I went with bionic ears, because if I could hear more, some of the best things I've ever done in sales, in inner people relations is when I was listening when people thought that I was paying attention to my conversation, and I loved it. And I used that data to get what I wanted. And so I would say ears, bionic ears.
What's your favorite airport? LGA? JFK? SFO?
Though those are the airports that I spend a ton of time in, along with LAX, my favorite airports are the ones in really small towns, in Vermont, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in all these places that I get to travel around, because there's nothing, and I mean nothing, like pulling up to the airport 18 seconds before your flight is boarding and being there on time. I mean, literally once in Vermont, I was in a meeting 32 minutes before my flight was taking off. And I got there in 6 minutes, and I got through the airport in 2, and I think I even got there before we started boarding. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the convenience. As somebody from the East Coast that goes to major airports, there's nothing like those airports. They're the best. I'm cozy as heck in them.
Hey, this is India. I do editorial for Gary. If you've seen the show, you probably know who I am, but if not, I also help run the Ask Gary Vee show. So I'm going to be reading some questions now. Would you ever automate your position and delegate to as many people as it takes so you could fully engage in your family and life?
No. No. As much as I want to be with my family all the time, the truth is I don't. I mean, I want to do the things that I want to do as well. And the thought of creating automation, first of all, for somebody who believes so much in human touch and the human aspect of all this, that would drive me crazy. It wouldn't work. It's super uncomfortable. And I couldn't imagine doing that. I would really, really, I wouldn't be me if I sat home all day and was with my family. I just wouldn't. I need to do my thing. And so I think that a lot of young entrepreneurs that watch my show or watch my content think about automation, think about how great it would be if they could just make money without doing anything, setting up a system that allows them to just collect their cash and their PayPal while they're on the beach. I just think that's a far-fetched game, and it definitely would not make me happy.
Do you work on your birthday?
I sure do. For a couple of reasons. Number one, I hate my birthday. I've hated my birthday since I was in my mid-20s. I feel like it means the clock is ticking. I'm not fully accomplishing everything I want every year. I really hate getting older. I was stunned how well I handled 40. I collapsed at 30. I freaked out. And so I do not like my birthday. I work on it every year. It's always in November 14th. So it's always during prime time, getting closing out the year kind of thing. Yeah, that's it. I mean, I couldn't imagine not working on my birthday. Though, let me phrase, actually, this is me jamming with you guys. I actually can think about it. I do see a day and age where maybe I take my kids out of school on my birthday and we start a tradition. I'm into that kind of like hokey stuff. But for now it feels right, and I'll address those kind of things later. But I would never not work on my birthday to like give myself a gift. Giving myself a gift is packing my day on my birthday and going at it hard.
What foods have you added to your new lifestyle that you are enjoying the most?
There's no new foods. I actually ate a lot of healthy foods. I just ate a lot of crap along with it. So it's just been elimination in the last 2 years or so. I've been really focusing on my fruits and vegetables. I love them so much. I guess beef jerky, which I know is high in salt, and so we've toned that down, but that was fun. I've always liked it, but I probably got hot on that a little bit. But there's been no new food introduced. It's been more about focusing on the ones I already was eating that were healthy.
Why don't you watch your own videos? Is it ego or is it time?
Time. I mean, I know what I did. It's not super interesting. I don't know what else to say. Just a complete waste of time.
What value do you find in knowing a foreign language?
I'm not sure. Like, you know, it's funny. Foreign languages are interesting to me. They don't come natural to me. I failed Spanish in eighth grade. I failed German twice in high school. And you actually need 2 years of language in high school in New Jersey to graduate. So going into my junior year, I took Spanish 1. I was a junior with all freshmen. And thank God, Senora Kennedy, I'm giving you a huge shout out. Thank God she knew who I was and I had skills. She passed me. She called my mom, one of my only teachers to ever call my mom. She called my mom and said, I'm giving your son a C for charisma. And because I think he's going to make it. But I just want you to know, he doesn't even know how to say hello in Spanish. So, I love you, Senora Kennedy. You know, I think that I think that foreign languages are great for people that use it as a utility because they became somebody in government or international business. I do think it's collapsing in value because apps in the future are going to be able to translate on the spot. I like it because when Russian people talk shit about me, I know what they're saying. I fondly think of a story of a couple coming to Wine Library in my youth and, saying behind my back in Russian that how the hell does this kid know anything? He's just a kid. And then me answering back in Russian and they, becoming white as a ghost. There was a really cute Russian girl once that said that she was into me and she didn't know that I knew Russian in my late teens, early 20s. That was a positive ROI. So, you know, it's had a couple good times for me.
Hey guys, this is Andrew Greif, associate designer for Gary Vaynerchuk, here to read you guys some questions. What's your travel schedule like to and from the office? Car, train, Uber, walk? How do you spend that time?
Usually it's a cab or an Uber. I live on the Upper East Side. Our office is in the Lower East Side. That's worked out really nicely. By the time most of you listen to this, we're moving to the West Side in Hudson Yards. That's going to be a real schlep, but I'll do the same thing. Whether it takes me 15 minutes or it takes me 40 minutes, I will be on my phone every second, talking to my family or friends or business associates or texting with those same people or going on Nuzzle and picking up the news of the day, or engaging with you guys on Twitter and Instagram, or creating content on Snapchat or Instagram. So just doing my thing.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
I was born in 1975. I came to America in 1978. I was 5, 6 years old when Empire Strikes Back released. I am a hardcore Star Wars fan. It was one of the first Americana things that I knew. It means a lot to me. It has a similar kind of thing as the Jets does, just a little bit different, not as intense. I'm glad it's back. It is the only sci-fi thing I know or like. I don't know any of these other things. No Harry Potter, no The Hobbit, no none of this stuff. I'm a big, big, big fan of the story. I think it's good versus evil. I just like it. I think I'm a Jedi secretly. I don't like to talk about that publicly, but yes, I do. And so I love Star Wars. I'm not into Star Trek. I was into Star Trek from the standpoint of buying old Star Trek toys at garage sales and selling them on eBay. So I like the business of Star Trek because I know other people care about it. But for me personally, not into it.
What's the fastest way someone could piss you off?
Hypocrisy, cynicism, and complaining. For all my zen, those three things really drive me crazy. Ironically, by the kind of personality I have, I get a huge dose of all of those things, both from my employees and from my community and from the people consuming my content for the first time. So it's so interesting. It's the thing that drives me mad, and it's a thing that I'm definitely facing on an everyday basis.
What's the most significant thing you get out of your show?
You know, I think the interpersonal relationships, I think back to Kastner, Eric Kastner and Mott, becoming family with them on Wine Library TV, now with India, Stunwin during his time, Stefan, Zach, D-Rock. I like the culture of having a team, but the thing that I get the most of is the feedback. I often say that the comments are my oxygen. You just heard me talk about ears. I like listening. I learn from how people respond to me and to things. And I just love having a community. I'm sure there's an ego boost of people being fans and taking selfies. I love that. I would never hide from that. But it is completely secondary for my passion of understanding how people process and think and consume things that allow me to be a better businessman, allow me to be a better human being, to be honest with you. I think a lot of my likability comes from my understanding of people. And so the community and the feedback, and more of the feedback than anything, which is part of the community. That is it. That is the it thing for me.
What should I get my mom for Mother's Day?
New strategy alert. Here's what I want you to do. Your mom is on social media. Your mom's friends are on social media. Follow them, see what they're talking about, and buy your mom a gift around the thing that she's most into of the moment. What it's going to prove to her is you've been paying attention to what she cares about, and that part is going to mean more to her than some new running pants or a paddleboard or her new tennis racket.
Hey, book listeners, it's Andy Cranack. I create Facebook dark posts for the reverent business guru Gary Vaynerchuk, and I hope you find tremendous value in the questions I'm about to ask my boss, predicated on his understandings of hustle, ROI, empathy, self-awareness, and social media done best. You've repeatedly mentioned your love of root beer over the years. Why root beer specifically? And any we should give a whirl?
First of all, Andy is now elevated to really running Team Gary, and he's just an incredible guy. And that was probably the most sense of humor and personality that I've ever seen him deploy outside of the way he hustles on the basketball court, which could be the proxy of his career, because his intensity is very much appreciated. I don't know. I grew up drinking soda and a lot of Coca-Cola. Sorry, Pepsi client. And if I drink cola now, it would be Pepsi, I promise. And root beer came along pretty early on, and the root beer float to 11-year-old, boy, ice cream and soda? Forget it. And then A&W had like a stand by us in New Jersey, and those things were really rad. I love the taste, and there's a bunch of really amazing root beers for all of you that are allowed to drink soda, unlike me now. Hosmer in Connecticut is incredible. Pirate's Keg in Rochester, New York. Kemper. Virgil's, these are nice entry-level kind of things. There's so much handcrafted quality root beer out there. Back to the 52-week challenge, you could absolutely do at least a summer, a 12-week challenge of 12 different root beers on the weekend. Just delicious. I'm a big fan. I think they're the most complex sodas in the world. You know, another interesting phenomenon in the last year, even after I wrote this book, perfect for the audiobook, is look what's going on with the hard root beer movement, right? The alcoholic root beers are flying. Wine Library can't keep it in stock. And that only speaks to people enjoying the flavor profile. There's something about that flavor. It turns some people off, but I've been intrigued by that movement as well.
Do you ever have dreams at night about your business?
When don't I have dreams about my business? I mean, as much as, even in my early 20s, as much as I tried to force myself to have, like, dreams about, like, hooking up with, like, actresses, you know how, like, you're laying there and you know you're about to sleep and you think you could force a dream, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to hook up with Pamela Anderson, and then, like, 2 seconds later, you're slaying a dragon and playing, like, Pitfall when you're a kid. You know, I mainly dream about my life. I think a lot of us do. Business is a big anchor in my life, and I'm thinking about it all the time, always.
What's the best thing that's happened to you this week?
So I'm going to answer this straight, as in, like, this actual week. It was AJ's birthday this weekend. We went away as a family and skied up in New Jersey. We don't really ski, but it was a lot of fun, clearly, because we went to New Jersey, not Vermont or Colorado. And I'll tell you the best part. I'm going to go deep here a little bit. Once again, like always, checking some social media while the kids are sleeping or going in the halls or wherever I was, not when I was family time, but always sneaking it in a little bit here and there. I was questioning about my work-life balance and things of that nature. As always, just constant conversation around me. And it was fun for me because I took all day Friday off, drove with the family, hung out with the family. It was like really an intense family time. I knew that my Snapchat stories were around weightlifting and business advice. I wasn't showing my family, something Lizzie and I, again, have made a huge decision about. And it was fun for me. It was kind of this interesting contradiction. Here, there was a movement again about, like, am I working too much? Am I going to look back at my life and regret it? And here I am spending the time, but not communicating it to my audience because of decisions we've made. And so I felt good. I'm always going to battle it. But it was a really great feeling to know, as I'm being questioned for ever doing it, I'm doing things that a lot of people don't get to do, which is take an entire Friday off, you know, and be with my family and things of that nature. And so there's a comforting feeling to know that my intent and effort in that category is very pure and good and going well, while you guys are not seeing it. And the reason I'm answering this right now is I want you guys to know it's happening, not because of how it makes me feel, but I'm worried about people saying, oh, Gary's doing it, I don't have to spend time with my family. Because my wife and I are not comfortable showing our kids or showing her to the public doesn't mean it's not happening. You know, even Daily V, we've not been showing a lot of the family stuff because, you know, my family doesn't want it around. And I don't know what else to tell you. And so though I thought Daily V, you know, when we started it, would show a lot more of that and show that complete picture, we've been editing a lot of the family stuff I'm doing. And again, it's just not going to be part of my narrative, though it is part of my narrative. And I felt comfort this last week in the debate while feeling good about what I'm actually doing.
What environment is best for you to have successful business meetings in? Conference room, restaurant, in flight?
Sure. I'm in full biz dev mood all the time. I'll do it anywhere. Anywhere and everywhere. Actually, whatever's most comfortable for the other person, I will deploy my chameleon-like abilities and address it that way. You want to be in a conference room? Great. You want to be in a restaurant? Great. You want to do it at a ball game? Great. You want to do it while golfing? It's a lot of time, but okay. You know, so I'm very cozy in all environments.
Do you believe in aliens?
The weird answer is I do. And I get it. I get it. But, like, I still think there's a long way to go in technology. Like, I just think that there's something else out there outside of our galaxy, our system. And what I really think about, actually, to be more interesting, is there another Gary in the world somewhere else who is part of a different world and has similar DNA and similar stuff and had different outcomes because of that world? I don't know. I'm fascinated by this question. I don't think it exists in our universe, kind of in our Milky Way world, but I do think outside of it. In the same way that I think that we don't know 99% about the brain, in the same way that I know that every day that goes by, we do things that we never thought were possible, I think that there's something else out there and eventually it'll be discovered. Like, I don't think I'll see it in my lifetime. I think this is massive, massive technology advances. Do I think in 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, we'll start discovering other things because of technology? Or will it be created from the technology we're building? Yeah, I kind of do.
Hey guys, it's Mike Vacanti, Gary's trainer and nutrition coach. I'm super excited to be a part of this. Thank you for having me. And India, let's get into the show. If you could go back to your 20s, would you prioritize health, or was neglecting it necessary to get where you are today?
I would have prioritized it. First of all, the big thing that I did not realize is how much better looking I would be by losing the weight. If I knew that the extra 20 or 30 pounds would have created that level of opportunity for my looks, I would have done it 1,000 years ago. I mean, this is something that needs to be talked about. Guys, as much self-esteem as you have, and as much as you feel like you look solid and you're fine, I'm telling you, getting chiseled, getting muscles, getting firm, getting lean, you're gonna look way better. I mean, I look way better. Just the truth. D-Rock, when we edit some of these videos, I mean, I look back, I'm like, my God. So I would have prioritized it. Not to mention, I would have had more fun in sports. I would have been healthier. I'd be healthier right this second because of the momentum of it all. It's a complete no-brainer. If this audiobook does anything for you, forget about the business success, making you a famous artist, boy, would I be pumped to get emails in 4 to 5 years from now from people who, as entrepreneurs, workaholics, people like me, heard that I addressed this, that this audiobook and the passion I'm delivering this answer with right now motivated them to get started and they got healthier and better.
What do you splurge on?
Vacations and experiences. You know, AJ and I went to LeBron James's first game back as a Cav. We went to all 16 games last year of the Jets. Lizzie and I go to very expensive, very exciting, very special vacations. I'm very into experiences, so that's where my money goes.
Back in the old school days of hip-hop, were you East or West Coast?
I was East Coast because I loved Biggie, but I would be lying if I didn't say I was a little Cleveland. You know, Bone Thugs and Harmony very much had my attention, East 99, and I loved that genre of music, so I was a little Midwest, too.
If it weren't for the 14th Amendment, would you run for president?
I hate this question, I'll tell you why. It exposes me as the vain, not good person that I am at times. I would absolutely run for president, and the reason I don't go into politics is because I can't become president, and not having the carrot of winning the whole thing has eliminated my interest in being involved. I do not want to be the governor of New York, mainly because I couldn't use it to become the president of the United States of America. And that makes me criticize myself every day of my life, but it's the truth. If I can't win the championship, I don't want to play the game.
My bro's been dating a girl for the past 2 years, and she refuses to acknowledge their relationship on social media. Red flag?
Your bro's in deep shit. This is a bright red flag. This is a problem. This means that she's scandalous or has some other stuff going on. Yes, this is a red flag. I'm not into it. I would tell any of my buddies to get out. And of course, I don't have all the context. And of course, I'm being a little silly now and shooting from the hip. But But I do think in this day and age, if that is not the case, there is a reason why, and it's either through some amazing insecurity that's deeply rooted in her own personal issues, or it's because she likes hooking up with random dudes on the side. Neither is super awesome.
Hi, everybody. This is Stefan. I do video work for Gary, and I'm going to be reading some questions for the book. Did you have any bucket list items that you wanted to complete before you turned 40?
Not really. You know, I have one bucket list item, which is, you know, the Jets thing. Everything else is kind of zenned out. I didn't have, like, I want to build this company, or I want to have this exit, or I want to invest. I didn't really have anything. So the answer is not really. I love the climb. And so my bucket list is more like a bucket religion, which is as long as I'm able to continue to play the game, to try to achieve, to try to score points, to try to win, to compete with my competitors in the world of business, I'm an extremely happy guy. And so, you know, there's things I want to get done, but I don't think of them as bucket list items. I don't think about my health. I don't think about spending more time with my family. I think of those things as like cost of entry to be a better human being, not a thing that I want to put on a list.
In the first 30 seconds of someone meeting you, what do you reveal about yourself?
You know, nothing that I think about, but what I've come to learn, because I observe, is people very quickly realize I'm a different dude. You know, I've not lived a life for a long time at this point where people are just kind of neutral about the first 30 seconds. They definitely make quick decisions. They can see that I'm rolling with a different level of energy. I think that's probably one of the bigger observations. And there's a real kind of reaction to me. It's why TV executives have always pitched me this. The reason so many people have wanted me to do TV, and I've heard this time and time again from big time executives, is, Gary, people are going to react to you. One way or the other, they're going to react to you, and they're going to react to you probably in the first scene that you're in. And so I always thought that was interesting, and I like it. I like the attention, no question. And I also like that I know that net-net, when they get to know me, I'm going to probably be on the right side of history. So it's probably why I like people so much. I like the interaction. So I don't have any real game plan, because they're always different, right? If you meet me at a Jets game and you're sitting in front of me for the first time, you're going to know a very different me than if I'm going to be hanging out with you because you're the wife of a husband that's in our school and Lizzie and I are going out with each other. The four of us are all going out. Like, there's just different settings, and I'm going to be different every time given the context of the meeting. I don't have agenda. I just have my energy, and I think my energy is the first thing that people react to.
What actor would you want to play you in a movie about your life?
You know, when my movie is made, I would assume that there's going to be three different actors playing my life. As, you know, the little boy from Belarus, I'd probably want to be, you know, maybe one of the Brad and Angelina kids, or, you know, some really attractive little guy. I was pretty damn cute. You know, I would say that as long as they're extremely good looking and massively charismatic and can act, I'll take anybody. Look, the bottom line is, everybody knows this. Anybody that plays you in a movie is always more attractive than you were in real life. And so that's a positive. I'm excited about that part. I will say this as well. None of them can be as charismatic as me, so I would critique that.
Do you watch your own videos?
The answer to this was always historically no. Ironically, it's become yes with my new Daily V vlog, because D-Rock is filming me at all times and he's editing. And so I have to see the story saying, plus we're putting out a lot of sensitive information. So for the first time ever, I'm actually looking at content before you guys are. Before it was one take and I knew it was there and we just moved on. It's been really fun. I mean, first of all, I enjoy it. D-Rock's outrageously talented. It's been fun to do a little post-production and critique a thing here and there. D-Rock will tell you, and Zach, my designer, will tell you, I don't do a lot of that. I let them storytell. I let them do their talent. But it's been a new kind of thing. I'm romantic about saying no, so it feels weird to say yes, but I have to look at it now. It's such a different thing than the one take play.
What historical figure would you have lunch with if you could, and why?
This is interesting. You know, there's people that come to mind right away. I'm super fascinated by Pete Rozelle, the former commissioner of the NFL. Winston Churchill's kind of cool to me. Macho Man Randy Savage, rest in peace, big fan, would have loved to meet with him. Walt Disney, Vince McMahon, I've talked about these people in the past. I guess if my grandparents, probably my two grandfathers who I didn't know, if I can count them as historical, because they're definitely historical to me. You know, I'd be lying. You know, this is an interesting moment in this book. I haven't really talked about this, but fuck it. I'm trying to really provide value. I'd be lying to myself and then by proxy you if I didn't tell you that all this recording, all my steps, is in some weird way scratching an itch that I wish happened for me. As somebody who lost both grandfathers, and somebody who had a dad who was different kind of dude, non-communicator, worked every minute for the first 14 years, I never really had that father mentor, that grandfather mentor. I missed out on something I see a lot of other people having. And I know that I had kids later than, you know, not that late, in my 30s, but that was later than people did in their 20s. You know, Xander and Misha are 6 and 3, right? Let's say they have kids at 30. Let's play this out. 25 years from now, right? I'll be 65. Those kids will be 5 when I'm 70. They'll start being able to know who I was at 75 and 80 and things of that nature. And there's no shot for me to have great-great-grandkids. You know, like, that's what I had with my great-great-grandmother. That's not happening. So I'd be lying that all this documentation, Wine Library TV, Daily V especially, wine, you know, the Ask Gary V show, I think I'm leaving something. And of course it's scratching my own ego, but it's something that I wish I had. I wish when I was 14, 15, 16, that I could have sat down as I was getting into those prime years in the summer, maybe one summer, to just sit down and watch who my grandfathers were, pick the things that they were, learn from them and their mistakes. And that's how, that's what I think. I think that if I could do anything weird like that, I would definitely pick my two grandfathers, because I'm just curious what mix I am of the two of them. I know I've got DNA from both of them because I know my parents, what they took from them. And so that'd be really cool. I wish I could do it. And I'm very excited that I'm doing this for my future generations because of probably how highly I think of myself, and I think I could be motivating and have something good for them and a legacy to really leave forever. And so it's pretty intense stuff for me.
Hi, my name is Brittany Hoffman, and I'm a growth hacker on Gary's team. What was your first or most embarrassing screen name?
One of my AOL screen names was G-Nuts. And you know what's funny? I never saw this before. I didn't think about this. Gary V, V-E-E, on Twitter, and that really my username, my handle now, is something I never understood why. It was the first time I ever done it when I signed up for Twitter, and that's where I exploded, and that's who I became. Now looking at this, now remembering, my screen name G-Nuts was G-E-E. I've liked the double E before. N-U-T-Z for all you people out there. So G-Nuts it was. I scoured the internet for ladies and scandalous stuff and whatever else I did with that name. And so G-Nuts.
Would you rather have a pet dragon or be able to turn into a dragon?
I'd rather turn into a dragon. And then, like, you know, blow fire on the Patriots.
I'm curious to know how you feel about the way you've touched and inspired people over the years.
It's my legacy. I never saw this coming. I love it. I'm taken aback by it. Every day now in my life, I get an email that's quite powerful, whether it's somebody trying to survive cancer and watching my show, or somebody starting a career. Literally, no joke, no hyperbole. Walking out of my building today, my doorman stops me. Hey, Mr. V, you know, it's all very professional on the Upper East Side. Can I show you something? Showed me a quote that I said. The quote kind of went like, the guy or gal that grows up cooking with their grandmother in the kitchen is always going to beat the person that goes to culinary school. You know, it was kind of the essence of doing it. He said that that quote inspired his friend and changed that person's life and is now at, ironically, one of the great culinary schools and has a profession. It's kind of funny. But, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, I wish it on all of you. I wish it on all of you to know that even though you're going after your own self-interests by proxy, by sawdust, by process, you're bringing so much good to the world. It's an incredibly intoxicating feeling. And I push against it. I don't want to be Tony Robbins and I don't want to be Oprah. I don't. And it's right there for me. I know I've got it, but I want to prove that I'm a real businessman and all these different things. But as I'm getting old, you know, it's interesting. Literally the thing that happened at 40, it's kind of, here's a callback. The only thing that happened is, am I being selfish to prove to everybody that I'm able to build $100 million businesses because I want to be a businessman? And then I'm holding off this inspirational thing that I've got. And should I go all 100% into inspiration because I'll be successful and I'll impact more people? It's been an intense feeling. It's definitely the thing that I'll spend my 70s, 80s, 90s, and 100s on, pondering, did I play this unbelievably raw gift properly? Did I find the right balance of checking the box of practicality and not guru for me because I needed that for me while still helping enough people along the way? It's very interesting how I feel about this gift. And it's gift through communication, and it's gift through circumstance, and it's gift through being perfectly parented, and it's gift through the talents that I have. But whatever I was given it. The reason I'm reading this audiobook is because I know I have a responsibility to read it, because Johnny Thompson reading this is not going to have the same impact as the 4 days I allocated to this, and that will bring value to so many of you and will inspire so many of you to do something great, something good, something just a little bit better than you would have had if we didn't cross paths.
When have you been happiest in life?
You know, the answer to this question is right now. And this is going to be a fun brain twist for a lot of you. Again, like, I talk about this so much, how much I wish I could sell my DNA. That would buy me the Jets tomorrow. And it's, you know, it's happiness. It's, I'm literally happiest right this second. Meaning, every day, it gets better and better. Every day I build on top of other things. I'm not confused that this day is not more special than the day Misha and Xander were born. I'm not confused that this day is not more special than the day that the Jets, after 6 weeks earlier, got pounded by the Patriots 45-3, went into Foxborough in the second round of the playoffs and stunned the world and beat the Patriots and made me the happiest boy on earth. I know that it's not a better day than that, yet I think it is. Because I know I've had those experiences, and I know here's the new day, and I get to play again, and I get to build on top of those experiences. I'm just so thankful to be alive. I really am, and I really believe that I'm always the happiest on the next day. Because the next day lets me think about the next day, and the next day. I love the process, I love the climb, I love the anticipation. I'm always happiest on a vacation the day before the vacation. It's just this way about how I live. And so, for me, I really think about these things in very simple terms. If I have everything around me healthy and happy, the core group, I have nothing to complain about, and it's just one more day I got before the other shoe falls, and I am self-aware, and I acknowledge, and I know things will come. I know my parents will pass away. I know that tragedy will hit to somebody close. I'm mentally prepared for something that we none of us want to think about. And so you have to understand, because I know that's a truth, because I know that's coming, because it's inevitable, it makes me so thankful and grateful for today. It was another day where that night went by and some of those things didn't happen. And so I'm just always happy. I force myself on happiness. I recognize the truths of the world and I fight for the happiness on a daily basis. So the answer to your question is very simple. I'm the happiest right this second. Question of the day. For all you hardcore Ask Gary Vee The Show fans, you know I like to do this every episode. How did I do?